Judge Donald Lowry is joining me on the phone. Donald, gosh, it's good to talk to you.
Oh, good to talk to you, Tom.
I was telling the story about the birthday party earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Don was concerned about my future health, and they all said, no, he'll be fine. He's driving. which is probably not the thing you want to say to a sitting judge. 26 years on the bench, Don, is that right?
Yes, sir, 26 years.
And what was interesting is whenever there was a problem, when they had a big, big case, they called on Don Lowry. From DNA cases, some of the most difficult cases, they ended up in Judge Don Lowry's lap. Proud to have him a friend and as a guest today. Number one, recently when the governor announced that he was going to extend the stay-at-home orders in these emergency powers, Judge Don Lowry was the first on the phone going, in the Constitution, it's very clear on this issue. Don?
Well, that's true. The extension of the governor's powers are really set forth by the statute. This entire process is in a number of things. First, let's talk about the statute, Tom. This is where he thinks he gets his authority. The original statute and I'm going to cite it, 20 ILCS 3305/7. Now, that is the emergency management statute. It says, upon such proclamation, the governor shall have and may exercise for a period not to exceed 30 days those powers enunciated in the statute. Now, it provides for no extension, no new 30-day basis for him to act beyond his emergency declaration. So after 30 days, and he has extended it twice now, it's invalid.
So Don, but 30 days, I read through this section. I didn't see, because you startled me when you said there's no provision for extending it, not even with legislative assistance by consent of the legislature?
Well, the legislature can, of course, amend a statute at any time, depending on whether or not they're in an emergency session or so on. But absent this statute being amended, he doesn't have the power to extend it beyond the initial 30 days.
Okay. And what we're looking at is a rather long period of time. Now, Don, the Attorney General appealed to the Supreme Court on these rulings filed by two legislators about this 30 days and said they came to an erroneous conclusion, his words. This seems blatant to me, self-evident.
Well, yes, it is. In fact, the Attorney General, now I don't hold a lot of regard for that political hack. There is, in fact, an Attorney General opinion in 2001, and he should have been aware of that, that says the governor is without the authority to extend this beyond 30 days. Now, that's an opinion out of his own office, and he hasn't even read it, apparently. So, you know, this has become a big political thing, not a legal thing. And what we've got to do is just sit back, look at the law, look at the Constitution, and make rational decisions about what should be done. Now, I'm not talking about the political end of this, but I'm saying, come on, let's get real about how we interpret the law. Let's follow the law and do what the Constitution says.
All right. Now here, Don, the governor upped it yesterday. Communities that don't follow a law that we are talking about here, that a law statute that is not being observed by the governor, that if you don't observe this, we'll call it against the law ruling here, that I will withhold federal funds and pull your licenses for a given county if you don't observe my power on this. I think this game got upped yesterday by the governor's comments yesterday afternoon.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But here's the reality, and let me jump forward into the Constitution on that one. The governor he's violating the Constitution, and he's violating the statute. That's my assessment at this point. And if he uses state action to enforce a penalty, which is not in the statute, by the way, if he uses state action to deprive businesses of their operation or municipalities of their money or whatever, he is subject to a civil rights violation and a filing in a 1983 action in federal court. Now, that doesn't give him immunity as governor. He's personally liable. And it's like if he sends, let's say he sends somebody down and they say, we're going to pull your license. It's not only the governor that's liable for doing it under Section 1983, it's the person who actually comes and does it. They subject themselves to 1983 liability. There is no immunity, and insurance doesn't cover those actions. So if they want to have their own finances at risk, go ahead and act outside the Constitution and the law.
All right, Don, is that why we're seeing sheriff's deputies, sheriffs come out and say, we're not going to enforce these orders because they're unconstitutional. We're not going to enforce them. That's what I heard these sheriff's deputies. I've read their letters. And what I'm hearing is their letters, when you're talking about this, that we're not going to be accountable for something that's against the law by enforcing it because we become liable in the process.
Well, that's exactly right. In the Emergency Management Act, there is no penalty provision for violating any of those orders of the governor. Now, it's well established, only a legislative branch can make law and establish penalties. That, you know, that'd be like an ordinance or the legislature. There are none in there. So even if the governor orders a penalty, that is illegal. That's void as to the law. He hasn't the authority as an executive officer to order any sort of criminal or civil penalty.
What about executive order itself?
Well, the executive order, of course, I say it's expired after 30 days.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have some recourse. The Illinois Department of Public Health has the authority to quarantine, isolate, or close a place of business to prevent the probable spread of a dangerous or infectious disease. However, this agency has to, they can act without a court order or the consent of the person that's going to be quarantined or closed. So if they want to close down a place of business, they have to go to court within 48 hours and get a court order to do it. They can't just unilaterally act and say, we're quarantining you, and if I don't consent, they've got to go to court within 48 hours and get a court order.
All right. See, because I think this is unique, and people may not understand this because we've never been down this road on this scale where the state says, okay, you own Tom's Barbershop and Car Fixing Emporium, and we're closing you down. And Tom says, no, wait a second. I own this property. I own this building. I pay my taxes. I paid my licenses. You cannot deprive me of the right to make a living with my own goods. You cannot do that. This is one of the oldest tenets in law in the United States. I remember reading about this in the Civil War. Matter of fact, oddly enough, when I was reading the Powers Act, 20 ILCS 3305/7, that if you do, you've got to show up and you've got to write out how you're going to pay and reimburse them. And I know that because it goes back to the Civil War, because there's a copy on a wall of a fishing cabin in Golconda owned by R.C. Davidson. The original is in the Museum of Golconda, where people from the South, soldiers, came across the river, acquired goods from the store, took them and said, when we're done, we'll pay you back. I mean, this is really old, permanent sense. If it's yours, you have the right to make a living with it.
You're exactly correct. And that goes into the constitutional provisions and the protections of due process. Now, for most people, the due process clause is in the Fifth Amendment. It was made applicable to the states through the 14th Amendment, so it is the law in Illinois. And the due process says, you know, there's a procedure. You have to follow it. And here's where they really run amok. The Equal Protection Clause also says you have to treat people equally. Now, here we've got the government saying, oh, no, Walmart can stay open, but you, a clothing store, you can't stay open. There is no rational basis for them opening one and not opening another. They say, okay, you have food. Well, does that apply to the person who has candy bars and water in their place of business for people to purchase?
Right.
Oh, probably. That's food.
Right.
So they've got a constitutional problem with the equal protection argument on the businesses themselves. But it's even worse than that. The First Amendment, it guarantees that Congress shall make no law, or the state shall make no law, prohibiting the free exercise of religion or the right of the people peacefully to assemble. Now, that's a restriction on government. That's not a restriction on people. The Constitution is a restriction on government action, not a restriction on the people. It protects the people from an oppressive government. Now, churches, they have this constitutional guarantee in the First Amendment. Now, I realize some don't see that as being very important. That federal judge in the Northern District said that churches, they were on the same plane as movie theaters, concerts, and schools.
Right.
And I submit he hasn't read the Constitution, or he's not very knowledgeable about the Constitution.
All right, Don, I want to play devil's advocate now, okay?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. I've noticed on social media memes that the government's there to protect our rights, not our health. And if you look back into the very beginnings of health, laws weren't so much made about rights. They were made about public safety. Look, don't poop in the creek. People down the street will die of cholera. Right? There's a disease lost in the community. One of the oldest communities laws that made in the Old West were for community safety, in many cases, health. This even comes back to Roman days and quarantine, 40 days of quarantine. I keep thinking maybe they at some point realized that you can only keep somebody in a house about 40 days before they start going nuts. But when you look back, they do have a responsibility, and these laws were focused largely on tornadoes and some type of natural disaster. Is there any provision, these existing laws, that would allow somebody to say, look, yes, those laws were made for a natural disaster, but this is a disease and it is unprecedented, and as a result, I should have unprecedented control?
Well, Tom, we're a nation of laws, and it's our restrictions are based upon the Constitution and the statutes that are passed by the legislature. I'm not advocating the legislature come back and write a comprehensive bill or a law, but in interpreting what is there now, he's violating the law, and it's just that simple. The protection of the public health requires two things. It requires adherence with the law, but it also requires common sense on the part of the people that are involved. We don't, you know, I'll take this personally. I don't need to be told not to go to a restroom. I don't need to be told to maintain social distancing or stay home by the government. I'm going to do that because I'm going to protect myself. I know this is a dangerous virus. Most people are of that persuasion. But for the government to step in and say, we are going to wipe out your constitutional right to go to church, we're going to wipe out your ability to leave your house, by which Governor Pritzker's wife went to Florida after he told everybody to stay home. We're going to wipe that out. It's beyond their authority.
All right, let's talk about authority for again, because you talked this early. It prompted me to think about something. The people who have been deciding who stays open and who doesn't are unelected officials from the DCEO.
Oh, yeah, and they are also the very people that are telling doctors, you can't use this medicine to treat this disease. You know, I don't want the governor, who is not a medical doctor, telling my doctor, you can't use hydroxychloroquine to treat me if I have COVID-19, or you can't use zinc sulfate, or you can't use this or that. He's not a doctor. And the public health people, they're not real. I want my doctor to make that statement, not some bureaucrat.
I'm curious about another item. Whenever a governor says, we'll withhold federal funding, we will repeal your licenses if you do not observe what I have said, the inherent punitive nature of that I find really bothersome.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's violative of 1983. So he's leaving himself open for a big, huge civil rights violation. The Attorney General ought to know that. You mentioned earlier the sheriffs, they're saying, hey, we're not going to enforce this stuff because they view that this is an illegal order. And the state's attorneys are sitting back. They're not prosecuting. I don't know. I've talked to a number of them, and they're saying simply, quietly, we're not doing anything. We are not prosecuting any of those edicts.
And I have talked to elected officials and across Southern Illinois, and over the last few weeks, they have told me in uncertain terms, and I can't use names, it was in confidence, that they feel they were quietly informed that they didn't cooperate. You know that money for the sidewalks you wanted? You won't get it. You know that money for the emergency department, the fire? You're not going to get it. You know that water, that money you need for the sewer and water? You're not going to get it if you do this. And that's already been going on in back rooms for weeks back.
Well, sure. And these elected officials need to stand up. It's kind of like the ministers. They need to stand up. They are the vanguard of society in America. These ministers, they need to say, hold the phone here. We have a constitutional right to act. We're going to have church. We're going to institute safety procedures, 6 foot apart, hand wash, all of that. And if our congregation isn't big, if we don't have seating for the entire congregation at that standard, we'll do one-third of them now, one-third of them in an hour. We'll have three separate services. That's what they should be doing, and they should ignore the infringement on their right to freedom of religion.
I got a quick question that came from a listener, and I'll let you go. Judge Don Lowry is joining me this morning, 26 years on the bench in Southern Illinois. Can the governor, this comes from a listener, just texted this in, can the governor lock down the borders to prevent all of us from jumping the river to do business? Judge?
Absolutely not.
All right. That was that Judge Don Lowry, and that's one of the reasons why I enjoy having dinner with Don whenever the opportunity presents itself. Judge Don Lowry, 26 years on the bench, the luxury of being retired, however, today, but still very active, as you can tell this morning. Don, is there anything that I didn't ask you about today that I should when it comes to this? You've been keeping me in the loop and helping me stay informed. I was wondering your thoughts going forward under all the things that we've learned over the last few weeks on this. Any other final thoughts before I let you go?
Well, there is one thing that's very important. I heard this morning that they're moving COVID-19 patients from a nursing home in Anna to a nursing home in Carbondale that does not have any COVID-19 patients at all. And that's exactly what's going on. This is a spread of that disease inside the retirement homes. Almost 50% of the deaths in Illinois have occurred because of nursing home infections. In DuPage County, 86% of the deaths have been because of nursing home infestations. So I have to question, why would you ever put 17 or 18 COVID-positive people into a nursing home that doesn't have any COVID infections?